Every Sunday morning, Gary Kiker, when he's here and not traveling the United States in his van, says what as he greets you? Good morning, church. Well, that's around here, that's Big C Church, not just Little C Church. That's not just Magnolia Baptist. We have enjoyed a special relationship with Grace Redeemer since they started about a year and a half ago. Their pastor is Pastor Sam Noe. You have seen them in our service. You will probably see them on Sunday morning as we worship together a little more often in the coming weeks and months ahead of us. We're just paying attention to what God's doing, and he's given us a facility that can hold, after we're done, Iglesia Magnolia meets. There are people speaking Arabic right now in the Fisher Building, and upstairs the Rose Church is meeting, and they're speaking Ethiopian or Aroma. And so we are blessed, and so I want you to welcome this morning Pastor Sam Noe from Grace Redeemer, and he's going to be leading us in this passage today. Sam?
Go ahead. All right. Thank you, Pastor Mike. I think I'm on, right? Does that sound good? Okay. I can't hear anything there. I want to thank you for the gracious introduction. I do have a complaint for Pastor Mike, though. So when I got the passage, I was like, man, why is the passage so long? Usually preachers, you know, they split this up into two, maybe three sermons. And I was like, you're expecting me to do three passages in one sermon. So I actually, I don't know if you guys know what this sheet is, but it's the order for service. I ripped out the sermon duration. It says 40 minutes. I might go longer than that, just so you know, but just... you'll know why, but I am going to spend most of our time in the later part of the passage. So we'll be spending most of our time in verse 16 and 17. However, I will do an overview of the whole passage. So to get to it, I just want to tell you guys what this message is about. And I've never used a clicker while preaching, so excuse me if I kind of get mixed up. I'm not as good as Pastor Mike on that. But this message is about... Paul exhorting Timothy to continue in the faith that he learned from a young age and to prepare for future persecutions with all the scriptures that complete and equip him for every good work. So basically, Paul is saying, I'm about to get my head chopped off, and I need you to remember where you've come from and the life that you've modeled, okay, that you've seen through me, and continue in that. Okay, because persecutions will continue to come. So remember where you've been, where you are, and what's going to happen. It's going to be consistent. Okay, so Paul is exhorting Timothy, this young pastor, the church of Ephesus. He's telling him to continue in that. Okay, and the purpose of this message, I don't know if this is working. Okay, I don't know if that's supposed to happen. Okay, got it. I was like, what? What is going on? All right. To remind us that faithful disciples of Jesus will always go through persecution, but despite that, God uses faithful disciples of Jesus and the valuable scriptures to rescue us. So this is really the core at it. It doesn't end with just persecution, but there's a purpose for the persecution. And that's what Paul is looking towards. I also forgot to mention that another issue I have with time is if you limit me, it's like kryptonite for a Korean preacher. So just know, like, I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be like, oh, man, like, how much time do I have left? My wife always tells me, don't worry about the time. Keep preaching. I know you could preach for hours. Just be faithful. And I told her, well, it's only going to be you in our church then, you and me, all right? So just be careful about what you ask for. So I'm going to give you a little overview of what the Bible is, because that's what verse 16 and 17 highlight. And then we'll go back, and then we'll come back to the end with the Bible again. So there's four categories about the way people understand the Bible. Okay, the first is this. There's a group of people who view the Bible as just a book. It's a novel. It's, you know, some view it as a fictional, some view it as a non-fictional, some view it as a mix of the two. There's a group of people in the world that view the Bible as just a book. Okay. Maybe a history book. There's some value there, but it's just a book. Okay. That's the first category of people. The second category is it's an important book. So I was surprised while researching to find out that 88% of American families own a Bible. Okay, And I had to double check this. I wasn't sure. I was like, wow, really? 88% of American families own a Bible. And if you do the math, every family in their house has about 5 Bibles in their home. 5 Bibles. Okay. However, it's simply just an important book that they need to have around, but they don't necessarily need to read. Okay. So the first group is they view the Bible as just a book. The second group is, hey, it's an important book. I need to have it around, but I don't necessarily need to read it. Okay. And then the third group of people is that the Bible is an important book that they want to lead their life, but they're too busy for it. So it goes a step further. Not only do you view the Bible as an important book that's worth having around, but you know that you have to read it. So it's not only in your home, you're like, I need to read this book. But it doesn't mean you will, because you're too busy for it. So you want to, but you're not willing to prioritize it. Okay. And then the last category is the category that you've been waiting for, is that the book, the Holy Word of God, is something that shapes your worldview. You marinate and feast on it because you need it. You absolutely need to be in the Word. Okay. It's basically saying that my day is lost if I don't read the Word each morning. That's what it's saying. I'm not trying to get into legalism, but I'm saying the relationship that you have with the Bible because it takes you to Christ is that it's saying, I cannot have a day without my Bible because that is my relationship with God. Okay, so that's the fourth category. And I will say, even in this room, I'll beg the question and say there may be some of us in that second group, the third group, and some in the fourth group, even amongst our churches. Okay, so I won't point the finger at you, but I want you to point at yourself. What group am I in? If I'm honest with myself, how do I view this Word of God? Do I view it as just a book? Is it an important book that I know is important, but it doesn't actually kind of change the way I live? Or is it truly the Word of God that I believe can change my life and to work me towards becoming more like Jesus every day? That's the question. So we're going to go back now to verse 10. I'm going to read it for you again. It says, you, however, have followed my teaching. Okay, following this idea of discipleship, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. If you notice, I skipped some of the inside verses. So I went from 10, 11, and then to 14 and 15, because I think this is an idea that Paul is continuing. He's kind of mixes in his ideas. And the first point for us today is that faithfulness requires following, persevering, and pressing forward. You know, I always ask the question when I was a young Christian, and I still do today. I hope I can move this. It's kind of getting in my way. Is that why does persecution have to happen? Why do Christians who love Jesus have to go through persecution? And I want to share this little illustration with you because I think it'll help. And I thank God that you guys are older because you know what tea is. Okay, so I share this with younger congregations, and there's a tea means a different thing for younger congregations now, but basically I'm talking about a tea bag, okay? And I like to explain persecution like this. When you put a tea bag in cold water, what happens? Not much, right? There's not a lot of tea that actually comes out. You won't actually be able to taste what tea it is, unless you're like a tea master, but even then you won't know very well. But you put that tea bag in hot water, and that tea will come out, and you'll understand the taste. And that's how it is with persecution. You have to go through persecution to know how strong you really are. Okay. When you go through persecution, when the rubber meets the road, when Christians meet persecution, the way they respond shows you how strong you really are. Okay, and that's why perseverance is necessary through the trials. So the faithfulness requires following, which Paul is highlighting that Timothy has learned from his grandma and his mother and Paul's life. Basically, Paul met Timothy, or most people think that he met Timothy in the second missionary, but most likely, because Timothy was from Lystra, he met Paul then. And at Lystra, Paul didn't have it easy. That's when they thought they had killed him and threw him out of the city. Okay, so Timothy watched and saw all of that. So in that sense, he was following Paul. And then now Paul is saying, hey, continue in what you have learned. Persevere through the persecutions, because persecutions will happen, and press forward. Okay, Paul knows this is going to be the last letter that he's writing. And he's telling his young pastor, continue. Continue to follow in your spiritual roots, persevere, and press forward. Okay, so that leads us to our sub-point in that remember your spiritual roots. Remember your spiritual roots. And there's another passage of scripture that highlights this, the importance of this as well. And that Hebrews 13:7 reads this. I'm going to read the first part of it to highlight this. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. All of us have been invested by someone, been invested in by someone. I don't care how old you are. When you were younger, someone invested into your faith. They might not be alive now, but someone invested, or maybe there's several people, and there's currently people investing into you now. Remember your spiritual roots. There's a reason why Paul is highlighting all of this, that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he highlights the importance that Grandma Eunice and Mother Lois, okay, had on Timothy's life. So continue and to remember your spiritual roots. And then following that, replicate your spiritual roots. Not only do you remember, have in your head, hey, these people invested in me, but now it's, how can I be a Paul to a Timothy? So think of yourself as a Paul. Who's my Timothy? If I was a Timothy to this individual, am I a Paul to someone else now? Who can I replicate this to? Okay, and that we see in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, the later part of it. It says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Okay. Imitate their faith. As Paul follows Christ, Timothy is following Paul. Now the question we have to ask is, are we following Jesus? Are we following Jesus faithfully? And are people modeling you, or are they modeling you as you follow Christ? There's a very big difference making your own disciples and making disciples of Jesus. There's a very fine line between that. But we replicate our spiritual roots. So become a Paul to someone, to find your Timothy, and now have him replicate you so he becomes a Paul to others. Okay, we're going to continue on. In verse 12 and 13, it says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people, imposters, will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So faithfulness will cause persecution. Faithfulness will cause persecution. So the persecution of God's people today, it continues. Especially if you're a faithful disciple of Jesus. Especially. So we need to prepare. Okay, I think I lost the slide for that. It's to prepare for daily persecution. We prepare for daily persecution. Now, you might think we might not have persecution every day. But it's best to prepare that for persecution each and every day. And not only that, you need to prepare for daily persecution to get worse. Okay? You need to prepare for daily persecution to get worse. Most of us, actually all of us, are either going through a trial or have recently come out of a trial or are currently going into a trial. That's the reality. All of us are either in a trial, about to go into one, or are leaving one. So I hope you can be gracious to one another as you love one another, knowing that you don't know what your brothers and sisters are going through or about to go through or are currently going through. Have a little more gracious understanding, knowing that fellow Christians, we go through persecution daily in our own ways, and we need to love and encourage one another through them. Continue on now. We're going to spend the most of our time. We've quickly kind of worked through this. Now, I want to spend the most amount of time in verse 16 and 17 because I believe them to be crucial, the foundation for our faith. I'm going to read it for you here, verse 16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So this word for breathed out, or in other translations, inspired, it's theos neustos. Okay, theos, as you know, means God. And neustos is the word we get from pneumonia, okay? It means breathe. So literally, God breathed onto this book. So this book, this word of God, is literally God's exhalings. God breathed on this book. Okay. And this is just a warning for those of you who love to read Christian books. Okay, I know it's not just those of us who have been through seminary. I know a lot of us love to read Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, The Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller, all these great books. They're awesome, but God didn't breathe on those books. As valuable as books are that talk about the Bible, they are not the Bible. God did not breathe on those books, but God breathed on this book, and there's significance in that. So remember, when you get to hold this book, when you read this book, know that God literally breathed this into existence. There's over a 16-year period of this book being put together, over 40 authors. No other book is as significant as this book. So the way you read it, the way you go to God is important. I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to help you see the weight of this book. So the inherent word of God is necessary for becoming a complete, equipped, and faithful Christian who will endure persecution and hold on to their faith. You see this, I have fought the good fight, I have run the race, and I have kept the faith. Paul will mention that soon as he comes to the end of his life. We have to realize that Scripture produces wisdom for salvation. And another point we have to remember is that Paul not only says just some Scripture, he says all Scripture. And I love looking at the Greek and explaining that. And the word here for the word all in Greek simply means all. That's all it means. Literally all of Scripture. You don't get to pick and choose. And the best illustration that I have for you now is growing up, okay, we grow up in a generation where spoiled Americans who get to eat whatever we want and we get to waste whatever we want. Well, I grew up in a time where my parents were poor, and when my mom made food, you did not waste it. You didn't get to be a picky eater. Whatever was on your plate, you ate. Okay, and my mom's here in the audience. That's another kryptonite for a Korean pastor. But just know that growing up, if my mom put greens on my plate, I was going to chow down those greens. So that's why I am not a picky eater. And we didn't get to pick and choose. And in that same light, when we talk about the Word of God, you don't get to pick and choose. The Word of God is the fixation of what God breathed into existence. So you don't get to choose what you believe in. You either believe it or you don't. It's a package deal. Okay, when you say that you follow Scripture, you follow all of Scripture, not some, all. We cannot pick and choose what we want from Scripture. God breathed out all of the Scriptures. And we continue on. It says that Scripture is profitable for teaching. Okay, the reason why I'm going to highlight teaching is the Greek word actually signifies a life of righteousness. So I believe that when it says Scripture is profitable for teaching, is that he's highlighting it includes reproof. It includes correction. It includes training. Because reproof is those going in the wrong direction being stopped and then being told they are going in the wrong direction. And then you need to be turned around, which is correction. And then you need to be helped and trained on that right path, which is sanctification. So there's a three-part to that teaching. So we have to understand that it includes all of that. So continue in what you have learned. Okay, that's what Paul is telling Timothy. He already knows that Timothy knows all of this. In the same way that many of you here know the value of Scripture, know that the value of Scripture being profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training. However, Paul is still mentioning this to Timothy. Because when we go through persecutions, we forget. Sometimes we don't want to believe it. And we need encouragement to know that there are other saints who are fighting this good fight of faith until the end. Okay, so continue in that. And I also want to just share a little story. So I've been playing a lot of pickleball, as Pastor Mike mentioned last week. He's 2-0 with Sun-O. Well, as good as he is, there's this... as I've been playing more and more, there's a group that has been wanting me to play it at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I'm like, man, I thought my son was the only reason I'd get up at 6 a.m. in the morning. But I've been doing that to start missional communities. And while playing at 6 a.m., there's a little kid that I met. He's like 7 years old. I don't want to share his full name. We'll just call him Rye. And he is just so good. He's so good at pickleball. He's probably the next top player coming up. 7 years old, and he already has a sponsorship, okay? Literally, people pay him to play pickleball, okay? And he's just the funniest little kid, like a seven-year-old, okay? He's an innocent little kid with his paddle, and he, like, itches his leg and before he's playing, and, like, he's just, it's a total just fun game for him. But what was so interesting and disappointing is that he has a sponsorship, and there's a company that sponsors him. There's a paddle company that sponsors him. He doesn't even use that company's paddle. So I remember after I was getting whooped on him, okay, and there's actually another pickleball player here that I want to introduce to you guys. Michael, you want to stand up for the crew right now? All right, Michael's a 6'5" animal at pickleball, okay? He's amazing. He's probably one of the best here. However, he would get whooped on by that seven-year-old, okay? And he's the best here. Okay, he's probably fired up right now. But just know, he would get beat by that seven-year-old. And I got beat, and then I wanted to talk to the seven-year-old because I was like, hey, bro, why aren't you using the paddle that you sponsor and get paid for? I was, like, angry at him. I was like, come on, bro. Like, you should be buying what you're selling. Come on. You get paid to advertise for this company, and yet you're using a competitor's paddle. Like, what is this? And the reason I share this is it's like if you're a Lakers owner, but you go to Celtics games, and you enjoy that. It's like you're the Dodgers owner and you only go to Angels games. It doesn't make sense. And in that same way, us as Christians, we say we love Jesus. We say we're advocates for the Word of God. And we don't actually believe what we're selling. We don't buy what we're selling. Okay, so that's a question you have to ask yourself. Is do I believe what I read in this book? Do I model it for people? Or will people think, whoa, man, you're actually Mormon. Or you're actually a Catholic. I don't think you're a believer of Jesus Christ. You have to buy what you sell, believe what you say, do what you read, and live what you read. Okay, I know that's heavy, but it's truth right there at the core. So that little kid, I was like, I was so disappointed because I was like, hey man, I was gonna use that paddle that you sell because I wanted to support you, and it's such a good paddle, but you don't even use that paddle. And in that same way, there's phonies in the faith like that. We say we love Jesus, yet we're only using him for prosperity, or we're using him for our own good. Live what you read. Okay? And it's not to say, it's not about how many times you've been through the Word of God, but it's about how many times the Bible has been through you. Okay? It's about the inner change. I'm not trying to get legalistic with you. It's not a competition to read through Scripture. But just so you know, if you read 12 minutes of the Bible every day, you'll be through it in 1 year. So the issue is not time. I guarantee you. The issue is not time. It's about your heart. Do you truly believe the Word of God to be Holy Scriptures that God breathed into existence? Do you believe that it's profitable for teaching, which includes reproof, correction, and training? Do you believe that to be true? Because if you do, your life will show it. Another thing that I want to share, man, I don't know. I wasn't expecting my mom to be here, actually, so I prepared a lot of stories about her, and she hates when I mention stories about her. But know this, so growing up, as many complaints and fights that I've gotten into my mom, I appreciate just her service to me at a young age and how she would just make all sorts of different foods. And one thing that I did when she would make my favorite food, it was a Korean dish, and I would always, I'd begin to ask her, hey, did you remember this ingredient? Did you remember the onions? Did you remember the green onions? Okay, because there's a difference, okay, between regular onions and green onions. Do you remember the mushrooms? Did you remember the chicken? Do you remember the multiple types of meat? She's like, oh yeah, I put that in, don't worry. Oh, did you remember this other part? Do you remember putting in these seasonings? Say, yes, I put that in. And at some point, she'd get so annoyed. She's like, Sam, don't worry. Everything you need is in that pot. Don't you worry. Everything you need is in that pot. And in that same way, everything you need to live is in this book. Everything you need. Okay, you don't need my own words. You don't need Pastor Mike, believe it or not. Okay, you don't need your other leaders. You need this book. Over anything else, you need this book. Everything you need to live, to be profitable in your life, to prosper, but also to endure persecution is in this book. Do you need joy? It's in this book. Do you need encouragement? It's in this book. Oh yeah, I'm going through some tough times. Oh, Paul got his head chopped off. Oh, that's encouragement. I don't have it as bad as him. You need victory? It's in this book. You need edification? It's in this book. It is in this book. So don't go searching somewhere else for what you have in this word. And that's what Paul is exhorting Timothy as he holds on to the faith. As Paul comes to the end of his life, saying to this young pastor, if there's anything, if you lose everything, don't lose this book. Because this book is what will hold you together. It will hold you through the tough times, through the good times. It will humble you when you need humbling. It will edify you when you need edification. It will encourage you. But you need this book. So as you go from here, remember, those people who have invested in your faith from a young age, remember those who have invested in you, replicate their life. Consider the outcome of their way of life and continue to imitate their faith. Then think about those you are investing in and in discipling. And if you're not discipling and investing in anyone, there's a problem. Are you discipling those individuals with all the invaluable scriptures? Are you discipling using all of this? Or are you using just the prosperity part? Or just the persecution part? Or just the legalism? Remember, all of it comes together to create the scriptures. Are you making your own disciples or disciples of Jesus Christ? Those of you who use scripture little by little often are building your own and making your own disciples. If you are faithfully understanding what the scriptures are, then you'll be making disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's the encouragement for you now. As many of you are older saints, if you haven't already, find your Timothy. Find your Timothy. And I'm going to make it a lot easier for you because I'm going to start bringing a lot of young people. All right? So just pick one. Michael, I called him out to say that he would lose that kid, but also so that you would talk to him afterwards. Invest into the brother. He's a professing Christian who hasn't been a part of a local church. Now's your chance. Not all at once. Don't worry. There'll be more and more coming. But realize that you disciple with all of the scriptures and that all of the scriptures are what change your life and help you to become more and more like Jesus. Again, that's a truth that is so obvious, yet so necessary for us to know. So I love y'all. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us to look at your word. We're thankful for the opportunity just to look at Paul's relationship with Timothy and how the intricacy of their conversation and the letter just shows how much Paul genuinely cared for Timothy. And Lord, we thank you for this book that you've given to us. That's no ordinary book. We thank you that you've given the book above all other books. The book that disciples and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training us in righteousness. Lord, if there's any sort of pride that builds us up, that tells us, hey, my experience is what disciples others. Lord, help us to break that down. Help us to be humble, to realize that it is scripture that holds us together. Through the persecutions and the trials, the things that help us get up in the morning is the scriptures and their truths. We thank you for pouring into the 40 plus authors to make this come and happen and to write these words in this book. We ask that we would use it humbly and that we would make disciples like Timothy, that we would model Jesus for our Timothys. And that those Timothys would look at the outcome of our life and model that so that those Timothys would now go make other Timothys and become Pauls to other Timothys. Lord, we love you. We thank you again for this time. It's your name we pray. Amen.